Oso.
No one the more about gel coat.
When the fourth round will...
Don't you call in the...
Greetings and salutations. You're listening to PC Tunney, and this is Daily Dozen. At PC Daily Dozen on Twitter and at thechairshot.com.
That's right, folks. They are celebrating across the Eastern Seaboard today, from Boston all the way out to Philadelphia. Welcome, Monday morning, Daily Dozen, January 22nd. Big show for you today. Special guest awaiting on the line right now. But before we get to the kingpin, you could say, a couple of things from the sporting weekend. PGA Tour, Jon Rahm fires a 67 in the final round. That would get him into a playoff with Andrew Landry, and on the fourth playoff hole, he would sink a 12-foot birdie to win the Career Builder Championship at Torrey Pines. In the NHL, a few scores. Yesterday, Philadelphia would defeat Washington 2-1 in overtime. Winnipeg picking up a shutout victory, scoring one goal, defeating Vancouver. The Vegas Knights put five goals up, defeating Carolina 5-1. San Jose, six goals. Anaheim, only two. And the Kings would take care of the Rangers 4-2. On the NBA hardwood, Orlando defeating Boston 103-95 despite 40 points from Kyrie Irving. Brooklyn defeating Detroit 101-100. The Lakers over the Knicks 127-107. And Indiana defeating San Antonio 94-86. College basketball over the weekend. I'm going to give you the upsets from the top 25. Number 7, Wichita State would fall to Houston 73-59. Number 8, Texas Tech falling in a big way to Iowa State 70-52. Florida taking care of number 18, Kentucky, 66-64. And Kansas State would upset TCU, 73-68. The highlight game of the weekend from NCAA basketball. Oklahoma would lose in a thriller in overtime, 83-81, despite 48 points and 8 assists from Trae Young. Good grief. Can that guy put the ball into the basket? That is your scoreboard, folks. And now we need to talk about the main event, the main course, the meat and potatoes of today's show. Let's bring him in right now to talk some NFL football. None other than the kingpin of thechairshot.com. It is Mr. Greg DeMarco. Welcome, Greg.
I love the music. like I need music from now on.
I figured I'd give you the NFL Films old school music since we're going to talk a little championship Sunday.
Yeah, I don't think people oftentimes think about the opening to the NFL Films music, because that part's even cooler than the usual thing that we're so used to, the iconic sounds.
Sure. So how was your day yesterday? I know you were watching the games.
I was.
You correctly predicted both point spreads.
I did, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, for me, as a degenerate, I do small things on the side, but... I actually thought we were going to get the Patriots and the Vikings in the Super Bowl, but against the spread, I went with the Jaguars and the Eagles. Of course, we got the Patriots and the Eagles. So, good day overall.
Let's talk a little bit about these games yesterday. We'll start off with the more interesting of the two games, if you will. Patriots come from behind to win. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick going to their eighth Super Bowl, defeating the Jacksonville Jaguars, who, from all accounts on my end, look to be a team that's going to be, you know, hard to deal with in the future. But let's talk about the Patriots first. This whole game changed at the end of the half, where Jacksonville kind of didn't take their time punting the ball. They had a penalty before that they didn't have able to pick up the first down. And New England, instead of being down 14-3 or 17-21-3, they go in at halftime only down 4 points.
You know, it's very much... To me, this is the Jacksonville Jaguars show that they haven't been there before, basically, at least this Jacksonville Jaguars team, this Jacksonville Jaguars administration, so to speak. They haven't been there before, and very rarely does a team who hasn't been there before make it and make the right decisions and make those calls, because there's nothing that can prepare you for it. You know, even though Tom Coughlin's sitting up there in the booth, it's you know, the conversations he's having now are, here's what you do, here's why you do it, and the field, it's something when I coach soccer, the field is the best trainer possible. No matter what you do to prepare, no matter what people can teach you and tell you, until it happens in a game, you're not fully ready for it. the next time the Jaguars are in these situations, they're going to do much better. But don't let that take away from the fact that it's the New Orleans, it's the New England Patriots, and they're a dynasty, and they are this great team with the greatest player of all time for a reason, and that reason is because they've put it together. They've planned, they've done everything that's needed, and they were ready. And it showed they were ready because they played 60 minutes of football, and when that clock expired, they were the victor. And it took all 60 minutes for them to do that. So there's so many things that people are claiming right now, and I love those things, and they make me laugh and they make me smile. But we're watching greatness, and especially with Tom Brady. He's the greatest of all time. I don't care what anybody says. And the Patriots organization is the greatest, you know, NFL franchise of all time at this point. It's hard to argue that as well. They're getting ready to go to their 10th Super Bowl. I mean, that's just insane. And it's insane for all the right reasons, not for the reasons that a lot of people are claiming. So I loved it. You know, 3rd and 18 for Tom Brady inside his own territory. I saw something that there's a less than 10% chance, according to the entirety of the NFL this year, that play is successful. And Brady made it look easy. And he found Amendola, you know, right up the middle. And it was, you know, and when that happened, I was just like, Tom Brady. It's exactly what I said. And there was my wife and my son. Tom Brady. And at that point, I knew Patriots were going to win that game because there's just no, you know, no stopping it. You can't stop a train even when the other train is coming. And that's exactly what the Jaguars ran into yesterday.
No, when you talk about Tom Brady, we've come to expect that from him. Like you said, 8 Super Bowl appearances, 8 conference championships now. But, you know, you mentioned Danny Amendola really stepping up big when Rob Gronkowski goes out for them. When he took that hit, I pretty much thought he was going to be done for the game. What did you think about that hit he took?
Yeah, that hit was insane. I mean, you knew that was a head-to-head hit. When he went to the back and when they came out and they did the sideline reporter and she was like, here's the update on Gronk, I would have been shocked if she said he was coming back to the game. You know, I thought maybe they would have announced him as questionable and he doesn't come back, but that hit is just such that especially Gronk. I mean, Gronk is not exactly... You know, for being this big giant of a man, he's not exactly made of steel. And so when he takes that hit, I'm like, yep, he's out of the game. But never did I doubt the Patriots' ability to come back without Gronk, because they're used to playing without Gronk. Without Gronk is kind of a thing for the Patriots. Amendola doesn't shock me at all either. I mean, he's been there for Tom Brady as that safety valve so many times. And catching those last 2 touchdown passes, I mean, you could argue either him or Brady, but you could argue for Amendola to be the MVP of that game. I mean, that second touchdown catch that he made to get both feet down and to get up there when he's not exactly up there in terms of height, to make that catch and to keep both feet in bounds, that's an amazing catch and an amazing way for him to cap off the season that he's had and the playoffs that he's had. So it's, you know, I'm not surprised at all. And Gronk being out of the game didn't concern me at all as someone who, at that point, thought the Patriots are going to win.
Yeah, kudos to the Patriots. We'll be talking about them for the next 2 weeks now. Before we move over to the other game, I just want to mention the kicker who never gets mentioned when they make the kicks. We always talk about when they miss them. But Josh Lambeau fired away a 54-yard field goal in the 3rd quarter that was nothing but good in a very, very high, tense situation where they needed something to kind of build up a little bit of a lead again, which they did. But unfortunately, like you said, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are as such, and Matt Patricia did a great job in his adjustments in the second half defensively against the Jaguars. Now, over to the drubbing of the weekend, a game that started off, couldn't have started off better for the Vikings, right, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the Vikings came out there, they were on fire. Even though I picked the Eagles to cover the spread, I thought this game was going to end with a 1 or 2 point victory for the Vikings on a field goal. And it obviously didn't go that way. And the Eagles more than covered the spread, the 3 points that they were given. Case Keenum comes out there and scores a touchdown. But then, you know, there's a pick six. And next thing you know, it's all downhill from there. And it's you know, entertaining if you're a Philly fan. I'm surprised that without Carson Wentz, they've done so well. But it's something that they've put together. They've drafted well. They've crafted a team, you know, bringing in players that they've brought in over this past offseason, and they really put themselves in a position to be here and to do it without Carson Wentz. So it's impressive. I don't know if we're going to have to deal with another offseason of Nick Foles talk. Is he a starter somewhere and what that means? But he stepped up, and he led his team to victory, as did the defense. So that defensive play to get a pick six early in the game, that really turns things around, because that early score for Minnesota makes you think that you know where this game is going. Minnesota is a team of destiny. They're going to host a Super Bowl, be the first team to ever do that. And the Eagles defense was like, not so fast. And they got that pick six, and next thing you know, it was off to the races for the Eagles. And it's I'm not surprised, you know, one game's close, one game's not, but this is a good Super Bowl for the NFL, the Eagles versus the Patriots, and it's going to be fun to watch and fun to listen to as we develop over the next 2 weeks, and every story is going to be beaten to death because we have two full weeks to talk about them, and we'll have plenty more talking about Tom Brady's hand and Gronk's concussion and the two coordinators, and are they distracted, because the Patriots right now are basically three head coaches, possibly four, on the sidelines coaching this game as they go towards the Super Bowl. So it's going to be a very interesting 2 weeks for the Patriots, as it will be for the Eagles. So, you know, no stone will be left unturned over the next 2 weeks as we get ready for the Super Bowl.
Agreed. Yeah, it's going to be that offense and the coaching committee, the brilliant coaching committee of New England going up against that Eagles defense, which, like you said, against the Vikings, three turnovers from Keenum they force, and they really shut down the running game. I think the Vikings only had 70 yards rushing, and not very much a carry either there. So we're looking forward to a great Super Bowl coming up. Like you say, I think we're going to have a really good game. I wish we would have had a better NFC Championship game yesterday, but at the same time, we've had some great playoff games this year in the NFL. So obviously, we will get to more NFL talk. We got Mr. Greg DeMarco here, though. Before we get into our last topic today, folks, you know what segment we like to do, and you know how we like to do it.
Thanks to television, I can't remember what happened 8 minutes ago. No, really, I can't. It's a serious problem.
Oh, poor Bart. Tonight, on television, we got NCAA header on ESPN, North Carolina taking on Virginia Tech, followed by West Virginia and Texas Christian University. We have an NBA doubleheader on NBA TV, Miami at Houston, along with Minnesota at the Los Angeles Clippers, and also on NBC Sports Network, NHL action, Tampa Bay Lightning taking on the Chicago Blackhawks. Folks, you know what else is on TV tonight? The 25th anniversary show of Monday Night Raw. Before we get into that, just got a little word for you from Mr. Velvet Pipes.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Thank you, Mr. Platt. All right, Mr. DeMarco, what are you looking forward to most tonight? 25th anniversary Raw. It's going to be electric. We got Cena and along with some other SmackDown stars coming over. Brock Lesnar and Kane storyline continues. All the old school people coming back that have already been confirmed, such as Stone Cold, Scott Hall, DX, Chris Jericho, on and on. And then we also have Roman Reigns versus The Miz for that Intercontinental Championship tonight.
It's going to be interesting because there's a lot of stuff to fit into a 3-hour broadcast. Coming from two locations, it's gonna be. I'm more interested to see how they handle this show than anything, because this Sunday is the Royal Rumble, so they have to get ready for the Royal Rumble. They got to continue to sell that pay per view. It almost would have been better off if the Raw 25th anniversary edition was last week to give them this time to sell this pay per view coming up this Sunday. But it's how do you promote the legends and use that extent while still maintaining the current roster, so that we're not in a situation that we talked about on Friday night's main event where there's no one to celebrate at the 50th anniversary edition because they're all gone and you didn't focus on today's stars. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they do it, because yeah, the walk down memory lane is fun, but you don't want to do it at the expense of today's product too much. So hopefully they find a good balance. I know someone's recently said, you know, just with the entrances of all these legends alone, there's no way that, you know, that's going to take up almost a full 3 hours right there. Not all of them are going to make their way to the ring. Some of these are going to be backstage. Some of them are going to be on commentary. It's going to be, you know, it's not everyone's going to get their sort of moment in the sun. You know, MVP may not get a full entrance, even though he's one that could potentially wrestle for them right now. So it's going to be a very interesting situation to see what happens. I fully expect the Revival to get their butts handed to them today for the claims that they made last week on Raw. I know everyone thought that was the start of some we're pro wrestlers push. No, I was just setting up a Legends segment this week on Raw. I've read that, you know, a certain portion is going to be from Barclays and a certain smaller portion is going to be from the Manhattan Center. If you have a ticket at the Manhattan Center, I really wonder what you're going to see, because if, you know, are you going to get some matches? Are they going to be taping? Are they going to have dark matches while things are going on at the Barclays Center? Like, I'm just interested to see how they handle that. Don't be shocked if The Miz versus Roman Reigns takes place at the Manhattan Center with Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross on the call. And that old school feel with the red, white, and blue ropes and everything there in that smaller, unique venue. It's going to be a lot of fun. I just hope that the potential's there, PC, for this to be great or for this to be awful and just such a giant cluster because of so many people that they need to get on the air that there's just some kind of a letdown because there was such a struggle for airtime.
Yeah, I can agree with where your viewpoint is right now, but at the same time, they do have 3+ hours to do this, and we all complain that 3 hours is too much anyway. And on top of that, the one thing about the Royal Rumble is that the main storyline is going to come from these guys just coming out and ladies now this year and being yep. in the Royal Rumble. So I don't know. We've had a pretty long buildup the way it is right now. I'm really looking forward to tonight. Like you said, it could come off really well, or it could be a flop of sorts, but for me, and I think a lot of people who have been watching, especially WWE for a long time, you're going to enjoy tonight no matter what, because you're going to see a lot of people you haven't seen in a long time. And for me, that just puts a smile on my face instantly, regardless of whether, like you say, it's a backstage segment or they're getting out there. One more question on the Legends, though. Do you think we see somewhat of a Legends Battle Royal over at the Manhattan Center?
I could see that, or maybe a Legend, depending on how many Legends are actually going to work in a match. You could see a battle royal. You could see like a 10-man tag team match, something of that nature. But yeah, there's going to be a way to get all these legends in the ring together to do something. And depending on what they decide to do, to sort of get them all in. There's a lot of names they got to get in. You could also see a Legends, you know, match for the women. And maybe a 6-man tag with Trish and Lita. And who knows who else they can put together. The Lita's not advertised. You know, she works for them now. And so she could definitely be there and make that appearance. So it's gonna. What I really hope is that you don't see a Trish Stratus declaring herself for the Women's Royal Rumble.
Oh, I think that's gonna happen.
25th anniversary. No, but that's fine. I want her in the match. I don't want to know she's gonna be in the match.
I see.
Want her entrance to be a surprise. Like, the surprise in wrestling is still a great thing. I look back to several years ago when CM Punk won the WWE Championship from John Cena at Money in the Bank when his quote unquote, you know, when he was leaving. He leaves for 3 weeks, he comes back, and when they crown a brand new champion, John Cena ends an edition of Raw beating Rey Mysterio to win his title, and here comes CM Punk. And it got a reaction. You know, when The Rock was announced as the host for WrestleMania 27, it got a reaction. And that's what we need. That's what we need out of this Women's Royal Rumble. I don't want to know that Trish Stratus is in it until she's in it. Same with Lita, same with any of the others. You know, maybe reveal the Bella Twins are going to be there. That's fine, because even though they're put out there as legends, and honestly they are, but they're not Trish Stratus and they're not Lita, and that's who I want to see be the quote-unquote surprise as we head into the Women's Royal Rumble. So don't go for it because it's there tonight on Raw. Do tonight on Raw, but save some stuff for the Royal Rumble.
Daily Dozen, we're doing overtime today, a little bit more than 12 minutes, but you don't mind. It's Monday morning, trying to get yourself going here this week. Greg DeMarco, before I let you go, Mr. Kingpin, thechairshot.com, tell everybody what they can expect when they go to thechairshot.com this week as we gear up for the Royal Rumble.
You know, a lot of our writers are putting stuff together to get ready for the Royal Rumble, and we have our opinion writers like Steve Cook, like Chris Dees, who go 2 articles per week, and this week it's going to be Royal Rumble heavy as we kick off the road to WrestleMania, which will have its own section soon on the website. Of course, you've got podcasts each and every single day, myself and Patrick tomorrow. You got Raw Reaction tonight, all the way up Chairshot Radio this Friday night with, of course, DPP, Chris Platt, and PC Tunney. And the Royal Rumble is going to be the hot topic for us to talk about because it's an exciting time of the year to be a wrestling fan. You've got the Royal Rumble leading all the way to WrestleMania. And yeah, sometimes it's not for us because it's more for the general public as we keep the casual fans involved, but it's a great time to be a fan. And it's going to be a lot of twists and turns, going to be a lot of fun as we make our way to New Orleans for WrestleMania 34. So this week kicks it off. I'm excited. It's going to be a fun time. And of course, you can follow all of it at thechairshot.com, where we tell you to always use your head.
And one more note of significance. This Sunday, it will be up probably around 2 to 3 Eastern. You'll have a good hour show to listen to when Old Gator and the real C. Platt collide on the TriCast. Folks, if you listen to anything this week, okay, and I'm going to probably have 7 or 8 shows out this week. If you listen to anything this week, listen to Christopher Platt and Old Gator, because that's going to be a good one. There might even be a special surprise appearance from the Kingpin himself. So, Mr. DeMarco, thanks once again for coming on. Any last words for everybody out there in the Daily Dozen universe?
No, thank you for having me. And remember to always use your head.
Did somebody say CM Punk? Happy Monday, everybody. Have a good week. See ya!